Welcome to Assets and Aging, Affording the Future, the live local show that's all about the issues of aging. What happens to us when we get older? How do we take care of ourselves? How do we make wise decisions for mom and dad? How do we know what the appropriate level of care is? Who's going to take care of us? How are we going to pay for it? Where are we going to be? All of those kinds of things. Today I have a rather special show. We're calling today's show When Harry Doesn't Know Sally. It's a little play on words there. You'll understand it more as we get into it. And I'm actually going to do some reading today from a book and from a newspaper article. And so you're going to want to listen to this. If you have an aging loved one, if you are aging, I want you to bear with me because I'm going to read some really important things today. I picked these out especially because they have meaning to me. So as we deal with the issues of aging together, I want to share some stuff. I get stuff all week long, and this week I had a lot of stuff to share. I have probably one of the best books on aging I've ever read in my life. I've just finished, and I'll tell you about that. You're all going to want to go buy one, guaranteed. I'm telling you, you will go buy one of these books. We're going to talk a great deal today about dementia and Alzheimer's, and we're going to do it all in the context of When Harry Doesn't Know Sally, and that'll make more sense to you as you get along. Let me get some stuff out of the way. Again, remember, my name is Bob Scrivano. I'm your host here for 18 years on KFBK. Remember, I'm not an attorney. I don't practice law. I don't give legal advice. If you want legal advice, you should consult an attorney, preferably that knows what the heck they're talking about, because a lot of them don't. My opinion only. I have a California insurance license, a legal document assistant license recorded in Sacramento County. I'm not licensed to do taxes. I'm not securities licensed. And everything we talk about here is my opinion only. I also am capable of changing the volume on a speaker. Okay, that said, remember, everything we talk about is my opinion only, and that's going to become more obvious as we go along. There's several ways to get in touch with me. The easiest way is simply to call my phone. My phone here in Sacramento is toll-free, so you can call it from 530 or 209 or wherever you are. It's toll-free. My office phone is 800-999-8007. 800-999-8007. You can also go to my website, assetsandaging.com. That's assets, A-S-S-E-T-S, and A-N-D, aging, A-G-I-N-G.com. Assetsandaging.com. And when you go to my homepage, you can look at upcoming workshops and sign up for them. You can listen to my podcast live every Wednesday at noon. You can also listen to my archived podcasts and radio shows. You can ask me questions online. There's lots of ways to get in touch with me and lots of ways to get help. And the simplest way, of course, is just to call my office, 800-999-8007. But if you can't do that, you can send me an email. Go to my website, assetsandaging.com, and make sure you sign up for my next free workshop. You can find the next one on my website. Or you can call me to get the information. Okay, so the show today is called When Harry Doesn't Remember Sally, or Doesn't Know Sally. And we're going to talk about dementia. And we're going to talk about it in real terms. We're going to talk about it as it impacts the families and the people that I know, as it's impacted my own family, as it's impacted my relatives and my friends and the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people that I've dealt with over my life who have the diseases. Because last time I checked, there were at least 8 different kinds of dementia. And I'm going to read you some things out of an article. I'm going to read you some things out of a book. And I want you to bear with me, okay? And the first thing I'm going to read is from a book. You're going to want to write this down because you're going to go buy this book. Write it down on a piece of paper. I'll give you a second to get a piece of paper. We're getting a piece of paper. We're getting a pen. Don't do this if you're driving. You can always go back and listen to the show again on my website if you miss it. Get your pencil and paper. Okay, the name of this book is called Being Mortal. B-E-I-N-G-M-O-R-T-A-L. Being Mortal. Write it down. Go buy it. Read it. Share it with your family and friends, and then read it again. Being Mortal. The author is a doctor. He's a doctor. Atul, A-T-U-L, Gawande, G-A-W-A-N-D-E. He has written several other bestsellers. He's won the National Book finalist for the National Book Award. He's he's also a surgeon and writes for the New Yorker, and he's a professor at Harvard Medical School, and so on. So, Being Mortal, Atul Gawande. And I want to read you something, and I want you to listen. It's going to take a little while to read it. I'm reading from his book. And I want you to listen to it. It's so important, I can't tell you. And bear with me, because it's going to take a little while to read this. But I want to read it because it's important. So, sit down. Get comfortable and just listen for a minute. This is starts on page 29 of his book. The story of aging is the story of our parts. Consider the teeth. The hardest substance in the human body is the white enamel of the teeth. With age, it nonetheless wears away, allowing the softer, darker layers underneath to show through. Meanwhile, the blood supply to the pulp and the roots of the teeth atrophies, and the flow of saliva diminishes. The gums tend to become inflamed and pull away from the teeth, exposing the base, making them unstable and elongating their appearance, especially the lower ones. Experts say they can gauge a person's age to within 5 years from the examination of a single tooth, if the person has any teeth left to examine. Scrupulous dental care can help avert tooth loss, but growing old gets in the way. Arthritis, tremors, and small strokes, for example, make it difficult to brush and floss. And because nerves become less sensitive with age, people may not realize that they have a cavity and gum problem until it's too late. In the course of a normal life, the muscles of the jaw lose about 40% of their mass, and the bones of the mandible lose about 20%, becoming porous and weak. The ability to chew declines, and people shift to softer foods, which are generally higher in fermentable carbohydrates and more likely to cause cavities. By the age of 60, people in an industrialized country like the United States have lost, on average, a third of their teeth. After age 85, almost 40% have no teeth at all. Even as our bones and teeth soften, the rest of our body hardens. Blood vessels, joints, the muscle and valves of the heart, and even the lungs pick up substantial deposits of calcium and turn stiff. Under a microscope, the vessels and soft tissues display the same form of calcium that you find in bone. When you reach inside an elderly person, an elderly patient during surgery, the aorta and other major vessels can feel crunchy under your fingers. Research has found that loss of bone density may be an even better predictor of death from atherosclerotic disease than cholesterol levels. As we age, it's as if the calcium seeps out of our skeletons and into our tissues. To maintain the same volume of blood flow through our narrowed and stiffened blood vessels, the heart has to generate increased pressure. As a result, more than half of us developed hypertension by the age of 65. The heart becomes thicker-walled from having to pump against the pressure, and less able to respond to the demands of exertion. The peak output of the heart, therefore, decreases steadily from the age of, listen to this, of 30. People become gradually less able to run as far or as fast as they used to, or climb a flight of stairs without becoming short of breath. As the heart muscle thickens, muscle elsewhere thins. Around age 40, one begins to lose muscle mass and power. By age 80, one has lost between a quarter and a half of one's muscle weight. You can see all these processes play out just in the hand. 40% of the muscle mass of the hand is in the thenar muscles, the muscles of the thumb. And if you look carefully at the palm of an older person, at the base of the thumb, go ahead and do this, at the base of the thumb, you will notice that the musculature is not bulging, but flat. In a plain x-ray, you will see speckles of calcification in the arteries and translucency of the bones, which from age 50 lose their density at a rate of nearly 1% per year. The hand has 29 joints, each of which is prone to destruction from osteoarthritis, and this will give the joint surfaces a ragged, worn appearance. The joint space collapses. You can see bone touching bone. What the person feels is swelling around the joints, reduced range of motion of the wrist, diminished grip and pain. The hand also has 48 named nerve branches. Deterioration of the cutaneous mechanoreceptors in the pads of the fingers produces loss of sensitivity to touch. Loss of motor neurons produces loss of dexterity. Using a standard mobile phone with its tiny buttons and touchscreen display becomes increasingly unmanageable. This is normal. Although the processes can be slowed, diet and physical activity can make a difference, they cannot be stopped, my emphasis. Our glands stop functioning. Even our brains shrink. At the age of 30, the brain is a 3-pound organ that barely fits inside the skull. By our 70s, gray matter loss leaves almost an inch of spare room. That's why elderly people like my grandfather, the author's grandfather, are so much more prone to cerebral bleeding after a blow to the head. The brain actually rattles around inside. The earliest portions to shrink are generally the frontal lobes, which govern judgment and planning, and the hippocampus, where memory is organized. As a consequence, memory and the ability to gather and weigh multiple ideas, to multitask, peaks in midlife and then gradually declines. Processing speeds start decreasing well before age 40, which may be why mathematicians and physicists commonly do their best work in their youth. By age 85, working memory and judgment are sufficiently impaired that 40% of us have textbook dementia. I just want you to let all that stuff sink in for a minute. I just want you to let it all sink in. The point I want to make, and the point the doctor is trying to make, again, the name of the book I'm reading from is Being Mortal, by Atul, A-T-U-L, Gawande, G-A-W-A-N-D-E. The point I want to make is that there is nothing, I repeat, nothing you or your parents or your brother or your sister or your grammy or your grampy or anybody can do to stop the aging process. I don't care how many vitamins you take. I don't care how much whatever you drink. The aging process will win. It may go in different speeds in different people, but it will win. Now, I don't have time to read more. I wish I could just keep reading to you in this book, folks. I bought it, and my wife read it first, and then I read it. I bought it for me to read, but it took me a while to get around to it. And I've read some stuff 10 times already. I'll read 2 or 3 pages, and I go back and read the same 2 or 3 pages again, because it's simply amazing. I want to read you one more thing from the book. Nonetheless, as the defects in a complex system increase, the time comes when just one more defect is enough to impair the whole, resulting in the condition known as frailty. It happens to power plants, cars, and large organizations, and it happens to us. Eventually, one too many joints are damaged, one too many arteries calcify, there are no more backups. We wear down until we can't wear down anymore. It happens in a bewildering array of ways. Hair grows gray, for instance, simply because we run out of the pigment cells that give hair its color. The natural life cycle of the scalp's pigment cells is just a few years. We rely on stem cells under the surface to migrate in and replace them. Gradually, however, the stem cell reservoir is used up. By the age of 50, as a result, half of the average person's hairs have gone gray. Inside skin cells, the mechanisms that clear out waste products slowly break down, and the residue coalesces into a clot of gooey, yellow-brown pigment known as lipofuscin. These are the age spots we see in skin. When lipofuscin accumulates in sweat glands, the sweat glands cannot function, which helps explain why we become so susceptible to heat stroke and heat exhaustion in old age. The eyes go for different reasons. The lens is made of crystalline proteins that are tremendously durable, but they change chemically in ways that diminish their elasticity over time, hence the farsightedness that most people develop beginning in their fourth decade. The process also gradually yellows the lens, even without cataracts. The amount of light reaching the retina of a healthy 60-year-old is 1/3 that of a 20-year-old. I spoke to Felix Silverstone, who for 24 years was the senior geriatrician at the Parker Jewish Institute, I'm reading now, I didn't speak to him, in New York, and who has published more than 100 studies on aging. There is, he told me, no single common cellular mechanism to the aging process. Our bodies accumulate lipofuscin and oxygen-free radical damage and random DNA mutations and numerous other microcellular problems. The process is gradual and unrelenting. I asked Silverstone whether gerontologists have discerned any particular reproducible pathway to aging. And here's his answer. No, he said, we just fall apart. My point is not one of doom and gloom. My point is one of reality, of living in a world where we're going to age. There is no silver bullet. There's no vitamin. There's no supplement. There's no whatever that will stop the aging process, which will ultimately lead to death. I bring all of this up, and I hope you will read the book, because the next chapter is about how all of this relates to falls and the danger of falls. We tend to look at falls, and again, if I could, I'd just sit here and read you the book today, but I can't. I want you to go buy it, and I want you to read it, and I want you to study it, and I want you to take it to heart. It also is a great study on home care, assisted living, nursing homes, how we got there, what's best, how do we decide, how do we make decisions, how do we deal with family issues, how do we deal with all the stuff that happens to us because we are, in fact, mortal, and we are, in fact, going to age. Families should read it. They should become familiar with it. I spend a great deal of my day talking to people who somehow believe they or their parents or their grandparents are going to escape the ravages of aging and the results of that aging. It's something that I want people to understand and to not have to handle in a crisis, but understand that it can be planned for. I had someone in my office recently who had a parent who had been to the hospital 3 times recently in an ambulance. And the hospital called them up and said, if your parent comes back to the hospital one more time, we're going to call Adult Protective Services, which means a conservatorship, which means a judge will now be in control of their parent's life for the rest of that parent's life. It was a big, gigantic wake-up call, but it was something that had been going on for years, but the family refused to acknowledge what was happening and where it was going and what the dangers were, because we all believe. Remember, the title of this show is When Harry Doesn't Know Sally or Doesn't Remember Sally. We all remember Harry back when he was young and vital and able to move and smart and focused and his brain worked. And all of a sudden, that's not happening with Harry anymore. Harry doesn't get around so well. He only falls occasionally. Sometimes he has a little problem with bumping into stuff. Sometimes he loses his balance a little bit. All of it was recognizable if we understand the things that are happening to us as we age. It's something that we as a society have not faced, and we have not faced as families, and as a listening audience, many of you are not facing it. We cannot look at that person that we love and admit that that person does not exist anymore, that Harry has been replaced by a new person. I hope you will take the time to, first of all, I seriously hope you go buy the book. I'm not pushing the book. I just think it's one of the most important things written in the last 20 years about being mortal. And I think everybody should read it. And I hope you go get a copy and you sit down and you spend a week or so reading it. Not reading it like you read a novel, but reading it for the knowledge and the skill that it imparts. If I could afford to, I'd give everyone away at my workshops. I really would. You have to begin to understand that your dad, your mom, yourself, you, if you're 30, you're beginning to age. If you're 40, you're already into the aging process. If you're 50, you're losing 1% of your bone mass a year. Your brain has already begun to shrunk. Your muscle mass has already begun to diminish. All of those things are beginning to happen to you and your mom and your dad. How are you going to deal with it? Are you willing to look reality in the face and say, as he quoted at the very end from Felix Silverstone, who was a geriatrician for a long time, who wrote over 100 articles, he said, at the end, we just fall apart. Are you prepared to deal with that in your family, with your mom or dad, with your spouse, with whoever it is that you love? And if we add to that a debilitating disease such as Parkinson's or MS or ALS or diabetes or the other things that are going to accelerate that process, are we being realistic about the issues of aging? It's important that we confront it openly and honestly in our families. Can you look in the mirror and tell yourself that your 70-year-old or 80-year-old dad is the same guy you knew when he used to swing you around the front yard? That's the dad you remember is the one that used to swing you around the front yard, or the mom that used to teach you how to bake a cake, or whatever it was. That person has changed. Get to one of my workshops. Get in to see me. Become involved in the issues of aging. Read, listen, come into my office. The consultation is free. Let's together begin to develop a plan for you or your mom or your dad or your grandma or grandpa or your spouse or whoever it is, so that as you begin the aging process, as you begin to fall apart, you have the pieces in place to deal with it. And you're not like someone and one of my clients who the hospital said, either take care of dad or we're calling Adult Protective Service. You need to get involved today. Give me a call during the break, 800-999-8007. Get in to see me. Sign up for a workshop. We'll be back in just a couple seconds, and then we're going to talk some more about when Harry doesn't remember Sally. Be right back. Welcome back to Assets in Aging, Affording the Future, the live local show that's all about the issues of aging. I hope the last half hour was meaningful to you. I hope if you didn't catch it all, as soon as this show is posted to my website, go back and look at it. It'll be posted to my website as the March 27th radio show. So go back and listen to the first half hour. Go out and get a copy of the book. It's life-changing. It's one of the most important things I've read in the last 20 years anywhere. And use it for a blueprint for a plan, and together we can deal with it. My number in the office is 800-999-8007. Don't forget, you can also go to my website, assetsandaging.com. That's assets, A-S-S-E-T-S, and A-N-D, aging, A-G-I-N-G, assetsandaging.com. And you can go to there, and on my homepage, you can sign up for a workshop, you can email me a question, you can call me, you can listen to my podcast live every Wednesday, you can listen to my archived radio shows and podcasts. It's important, and it's a great source of information. Tell other people, if they're not up at 4 in the morning like you are, they can always listen to this show on my website. You can listen to it on a phone, you can listen to it on an iPad or a laptop or whatever you want, wherever you want to listen to it. Go to my website, assetsandaging.com, and pull it up. Now I want to talk more specifically about dementia. And I'm going to read some more. I told you that today was a reading day. It's book club day. Only today I'm going to read to you, we're going to talk now for the next few minutes, specifically about dementia and specifically about Alzheimer's. It is estimated that somewhere around, I don't even know, what was the last number I read? 5 million people in America, 4 million people have Alzheimer's. That's not counting all the people that have the other kinds of dementia. And I'm going to read to you from an article from the Wall Street Journal. The Wall Street Journal is the only newspaper in the world that does anything resembling coverage of aging issues. They do a really good job, and there are lots of writers there that cover this subject. And this is an article in the Wall Street Journal from Tuesday, March 22nd. Very recent, isn't it? I told you, I read so you don't have to. Tuesday, March 22nd, 2016, page D as in dog, 1. It's in the Health and Wellness section of the Personal Journal, Wall Street Journal, Tuesday, March 22nd, 2016. I want to give a shout out to them and to the book author, book Being Mortal, that I read from earlier. And on the front page is an article. You can hear the newspaper in front of me, and I'm actually reading this, called To Care for Alzheimer's. And what the journal has done, nobody else does this, folks. Everybody writes about 90-year-olds who parachute Nobody writes about this stuff because we don't talk about it. It's in secret. It's the family secret. We don't talk about this. We don't talk about the fact that dad's, has a little problem and mom is not too focused and all of that. We don't talk about all that. Well, I talk about it here. And the Wall Street Journal talks about it. So I want to read you something, again, from this article. Again, Tuesday, March 22nd, 2016, page D1 of the Wall Street Journal. It's called To Care for Alzheimer's. And what they did is a year ago, they wrote about, I think it's three families. And they wrote about them a year ago. And then they followed them for a year. And they just rewrote an article about these three families, these three situations where someone had been diagnosed with Alzheimer's. So you can go back a year and you can read about where they were a year ago, and now you can read again about where they are a year later. So I want to read you a couple things from this article talking about Alzheimer's. And again, I want you to listen with your heart, not your head. You can't be dismissive of this. Everybody in the everybody you know has known someone with dementia. If you pretend that you've never known anybody with dementia, I don't know where you've been. You've been living in a glass bubble underground. And I'm gonna be taking pieces out of the article, so I'll try to do them in context somewhat. But I can't read the whole article to you. I wish I could. You can go look it up online. One of the couples, Ms. Sylvia, 67 years old, is one of the more fortunate ones. Her husband, Don, 70, can still carry on a conversation. They banter back and forth. His sense of humor is still strong, so is hers. He still watches TV. He loves Downton Abbey. Who doesn't? I'm so sad it's over. He loves Downton Abbey, says Ms. Sylvia. We can go back and watch season 3 now because he doesn't remember. Every day is a new day. That's my comment. Mr. Nye has taken up a new hobby, watercolor painting. I don't know if he's any good at it or not, but he's taken up watercolor painting. Mr. Nye has taken up a new hobby, watercolor painting. He needed to find something to occupy his hands. As he began to hurt himself by digging into his skin, part of the obsessive compulsive traits that can come with Alzheimer's. It is not uncommon for people to become very obsessive compulsive, very routine oriented, very agitated when they have Alzheimer's. If somebody has sundowners that's listening out there, if you have a family member with sundowners in particular, you know what I'm talking about. If you don't know what sundowner syndrome is, look it up. He attended an Alzheimer's Association-sponsored watercolor painting class in the fall and has been painting ever since. It's just easier because his ability to learn is severely impacted, she said. This is a way for him to use his hands and still express himself. Mr. Nye, who was diagnosed with Alzheimer's about 1.5 years ago, by the way, here's a statistic I'm going to throw in. Between actual onset of Alzheimer's and diagnosis is 2.5 years. So if he was diagnosed 1.5 years ago, it means he's probably had Alzheimer's for 4 years already. Mr. Nye was diagnosed with Alzheimer's about 1.5 years ago, I'm reading from the article. Can still microwave food and feed and clothe himself, but it has gotten much harder, says Ms. Sylvia. Many days the clothes are on backward or inside out or both. And sometimes we'll see people put on 3 layers of clothes because they can't remember, or we'll see people walk out into the living room with no clothes on because they put them on and then took them off and couldn't remember what to do next. That's my own observation. Mr. Nye is aware of what's happening to him. It's going faster than I thought, he says about his Alzheimer's. I have a lisp now that I didn't have and have difficulty with some words that I can't find when I need them. I wish I didn't have the Alzheimer's. He can't get the word out, he says. You want it? He asks with a laugh. And then it goes on to the next case. Over the past year, Mr. Clinton's wife, who goes by Dot, has become immobile. She's permanently in a wheelchair now, says Mr. Clinton, 75. I put a hospital bed in the family room on the first floor, and that's where she sleeps now. Why? Because she couldn't get up the stairs to the second floor, where their bedroom is. Mr. Clinton has bought a special chair that helps his wife up, a lift chair, so he doesn't have to lift her as much. Right off the family room, there is a laundry room. We wheel her into the laundry room to give her a body wash because she can't get in the shower. You can hear the paper. I'm turning the page. He has also purchased a handicap accessible van and installed handicap ramps at the family summer home. Mrs. Clinton, who is 70, she's only 70, folks. We're not talking about a 95-year-old. She's only 70, can no longer feed herself. She doesn't make sense when she talks, but still shows sign of recognition of some of her family members. Mr. Clinton put his wife in a full-time facility just once when he took a vacation to China. On weekdays, she goes to an adult daycare facility that I'll guarantee you costs him a bundle. This is a family that financially is okay. In April, he plans a two-week trip to Scandinavia and will try a different nursing home. I want to keep her at home as long as we can, as long as my health stays pretty stable, he says. But we're realistic. Boy, there's a unique thing. But we're realistic to the point that we know maybe at some point in time we may have to put her in a home, that is. He continues to rely on help from his son who moved back home and his daughter, also named Dorothy, who stays over on weekends. The younger Mrs. Clinton, who does, it's not the president, it's just that happens to be the name, who goes by Dar, says the physical strain of taking care of her mother has gotten harder. A former hairstylist, she suffers from tendonitis and carpal tunnel. Just putting her shirt on is a struggle. For the daughter, that is. My point is, and then the third case I'm not going to read, I just don't have time. My point is that over the year, we've had people in every single case deteriorate. Every single one of them has deteriorated. Every single one of them has gotten worse. Every single one of them has taken a turn. Every single one of them, there's been a decline in the caregiver's health. In all three cases that are discussed in the journal article, over the last year, there has been a severe decline in every single one. And that doesn't count all the other things that could happen. Every year in the United States, 350,000 Americans fall and break a hip. 40% of those end up in a nursing home. Do you think somebody with dementia doesn't have an increased risk of falling? They have an increased risk of falling. People who are older are on medications that lead to falls. People who are sometimes on dementia and are agitated have an increased risk of falls. It's important to begin to understand and to admit that Harry may no longer know Sally. Now, one of the couples I talked about, they obviously have the finances to take care of it. The average income of people 80 and older the median income, according to Dr. Gawande, the first book that I read, the median income of people 80 or over in the United States is $15,000. Now, what do you think it costs to buy a wheelchair or to put in ramps or to buy a wheelchair van? What do you think it costs to hire a caregiver? What do you think it costs in lost wages for a caregiver who comes in to take care of mom or dad? I'm not saying don't do it, But the reality is, from the first half hour that we spent talking about this, that we all are going to get older. We're all going to become more frail. It's going to happen to all of us. So I want you to think, when the show is over, during the show, you can get a pencil and paper. And I want you to write down the three specific things you have done to help mitigate the issues of aging, specifically frailty and dementia. What three specific things have you done for your mom, for your dad, for your spouse, for yourself, for your parents, for your grandparents? What specific things have you done to begin to deal with what these people are dealing with? You have to be able to know. You have to know. You have to have a plan. It's not optional. You know, the only thing that keeps us from getting older is dying, and that has its own set of issues. So what are the specific things that you're going to do? Have you and your family and your mom and dad worked out who's going to take care of them? In one of the cases that I just read, it's the Clinton family. Mr. Clinton is taking care of Mrs. Clinton. One of the sons has had to move back. Did he lose his job when he moved back? Did he bring his family with him? What was their plan? They're doing all of this because they didn't have a plan, and this person has had dementia for probably 10 years. And now it's gotten so bad that in haste, they're trying to figure out what to do. One of the daughters has moved back and taken care and moved in and is helping to take care of Mr. Clinton's wife, and she has physical problems. As I've said many times before, in 1/3 of the cases, the well spouse dies first. If we're going to be realistic, if we're going to admit that we're mortal and that parts will begin to fall off, that gravity will eventually win, if we're open to discussing that and having an honest discussion about that with ourselves and with our family, then you can begin to plan. Yeah, there may be things that come up that are unknown. Maybe we wind up with a disease we didn't think we were going to wind up with. Maybe we wind up with cancer. I don't know. Maybe we have a stroke that debilitates us. Maybe we wind up with an amputation from diabetes. I don't know. There's a million thousand different things that can happen to us. But the discussion has to happen. Learning how to deal with someone that has dementia is important. Learning how to answer questions. Learning how to deal with the frustration of someone who asked the same question 27 times. Asking mom for what she would like for dinner, and mom says, "Well, go talk to your father. He's in the living room." And you say, "Mom, Dad's been dead for 10 years. And mom says, "No, he's not. He's not. He's out in the living room. Go talk to him. I just talked to him 5 minutes ago." "No, Mom, he's not there. I know he's there." Can you hear the argument escalating? Do you know how to answer that question? Do you know how to deal with that? Do you know where to find caregivers or facilities or whatever that can deal with that? Are you at risk of having adult protective services involved because your mom keeps falling or your dad keeps falling or your dad wanders down the street and the police bring him home because he gets lost? Are you willing to face it openly and honestly? I once had someone in my office, and one of the questions I ask people when I talk to them about someone with dementia is, I'll say, if I took Dad 2 blocks away from home and dropped him off on the corner, could he find his way home? And I asked someone that once, and the spouse said, "Yeah, in fact, that happened." I said, what? That took me aback. I said, "What do you mean that happened?" She said, "Well, we were at the store. We were shopping. And he walked outside the store And he didn't know where I was, so he walked home. And I looked at her incredulously, and I said, "Do you understand what you just told me?" She was quite proud of the fact that he walked home. And I said, "Do you understand what you just told me?" And she said, "No, I don't." I said, "He got lost in the grocery store. You understand, he walked outside the front door to the grocery store and didn't know where you were." How honest are you being about the circumstance that your family is in, that your loved one is in, that your mom is in, your dad is in? Are you asking your mom, let's assume for a minute that your dad is the one with dementia. Who does everybody always ask questions about? Come on. Everybody says, "How's dad's doing? How's dad doing? How's dad doing? How was dad's day today?" Who should we be asking? In my example, we should be asking mom, "Mom, how are you doing? Are you sleeping? Are you eating? Are you taking your meds? Have you been to the doctor? Are you able to get out for a walk once in a while and get some thinking time? Are you up all night? Are you stressed out? Is your blood pressure up? What does your doctor have to say?" How many of you ask those kinds of questions? "Well, Bob, I don't want to interfere. You know, I don't want to interfere because my, you know, it's my mom and dad, and I don't want to interfere with them. And I, you know, I don't want to." You have to want to. You have to get involved. You can't leave the caregiver out there all alone. You have to get involved. A lot of times when someone has dementia, people who have been friends for years never show up anymore. So mom and dad's natural circle of relationships aren't still there. They don't come around anymore because dad's a little weird. You know, he says things. You know, sometimes he urinates in his pants and he smells a little. And so a mom's support groups in my support, you know, has kind of disappeared. The grandkids don't come around anymore because grandpa's a little strange and mom is stressed out. I know I'm talking to people that are listening. I know because I've been doing this 25 years and I watch who walks into my office. The number of times I have seen people who just can't make the decision that person that they love and adore and have spent 50 years with is not there anymore. Harry doesn't remember Sally. And we haven't quite come to grips with coping with that reality. Children, you have to get involved in this. You have to live in the real world. You have to identify what's happening. Children, go with mom to the doctor and find out what the doctor has to say about dad. I'm using dad. It could be anybody, but you understand what I'm saying. You have to go to the doctor when mom goes to the doctor and find out how she's doing. You need to make sure that as the children, you're on mom and dad's HIPAA authorizations, so you can call up the doctor and say, "Doc, what's going on with dad? How's he doing? What, the last time you talked to him, how's he doing? What do I need to know so I can be a better caregiver for my mother, who's the caregiver for my dad?" I hope you'll take the time to begin to think all that we've talked about here through. I hope you'll begin to take the time to read the article from the Wall Street Journal and other articles, and especially to go buy the book called Being Mortal, B-E-I-N-G, Mortal, M-O-R-T-A-L, by Dr. Atul Gawande. It may just be Gawande, but I'm my guess is he pronounces the E at the end. You have to begin to understand what's happening in your world in a real-time, real-life perspective. You can't pretend that dad is just a little forgetful anymore. You can't protect that mom's just a little peculiar. She's just a little forgetful. You have to pay attention to whether they're eating and hydrating and taking their meds. If that means counting pills, then that's what it means. If that means managing the meds yourself, that's what it means. You have to have a plan. It has to be in writing. It has to be thought out, and everybody has to know what it is and agree to it. There's kind of this belief that when things go bad, we'll all rally around. Even if that were true, and by the way, it's not true, sometimes everybody doesn't have time to rally around because by the time the crisis hits, there's no time. You know, it's like the fog of war. What's the old saying? All the plans of war go out the window when the first shot is fired. This is the same kind of thing. If we wait until it's a catastrophe, we may not have time. 800-999-8007. 800-999-8007. Go to my website, assetsandaging.com. Assets, assetsandaging.com. Get to a workshop. Get involved. Come in and see me. Email me a question. My consultations are free. Listen to my podcasts every Wednesday. Go to my homepage on my website and listen to past radio programs and podcasts. Get information. Become informed. 800-999-8007. Live in the real world and understand what's happening around you to your parents and your grandparents as they become, or your spouse, as we all become more frail. For Assets and Aging, this is Bob Scrivano. I'll see you here again next week. Same time, same place. I hope you have a wonderful week. Talk to your family. Enjoy the time you have together. And we'll see you here again next week. Have a great day.